We continue this morning in our Active 8 Sermons series, and unlike last time I spoke with you, where we were talking about mountains and climbing, an image in Scripture which is abundant, to say the least, there are very few references to swimming in the Bible. And one really needs to stretch at times to even find the concept. Yet references to water as the source of life and hope abound. Last week you explored with Pastor Dave the fear that comes with boats in the Bible and that mysterious dark side of water, chaotic, mysterious, and the need for faith to deal with it. And today we explore the life-giving power of the image of water and the challenge to dare, to risk, and jump in. Will you pray with me? Touch us, O God, with your stirring and empowering grace, that we might see you in the text today and be so called forth to live as your disciples. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Almost 20 years ago, Andrew planned a trip for the two of us. Now, you have to understand there's something about Andrew in planning trips. When we were first married, he was into adventure trips for us. Thank goodness for children that kind of slowed that down a little bit. But now that they're old enough to go on the same kinds of adventures, I see it ramping up. But 20 years ago, he planned a trip for us to go whale watching in kayaks in the San Juan Islands off the coast of Washington. Now, most of Andrew's adventure trips for us take training. We've done mountain biking and biking in the Tetons. I know it's hard to believe that with me, but we've done all kinds of things, but that required training, but it required a kind of a mental training for me to even get into the concept of watching whales while paddling a kayak. And I must confess that the Sunday before we left, in our joys and concerns at the church I was serving at the time, I did let slip that I would like the congregation's prayers that while we went on this trip, we didn't see any whales. Well, fast forward to 20 years later and Andrew's 50th birthday, and I planned the trip this time for us to go paddle in kayaks to whale watch in the same San Juan Islands. Apparently that prayer is still holding. We didn't see any whales. But there's a new term that you can, that if you don't see whales when you're going whale watching, you can be water watching. If you want to know, I guess I've become more logical that I realize that businesses that take you whale watching in kayaks probably don't stay around very often if they lose customers. However, do talk to the Webbers, who have all kinds of adventures in their lives. They went with the same company, and they got really close to whales in their kayaks. Stretching in new directions. I was willing this time to risk more. Though swimming may be a scarce image in scriptures, the symbolism of water is quite prevalent as both positive and negative, terrifying and renewing, literally life and death, like so many things in our lives. Try to put yourselves in the sandals of those disciples. We find them in this text trying to find their bearings again after the amazing experience of walking alongside Jesus, empowered by Jesus coming to earth to be with them, calling them to do great things, and enabling them to do great things in his name. They are now adjusting to the new realities of life without him, and with an end that doesn't quite seem to fit the story that they had expected in walking with him. They have seen already that he's risen from the dead, but one might imagine that they're still asking themselves, okay, but now, so what are we supposed to do in that? Still trying to figure out how they're going to carry on that ministry in his name, and ministry as he has empowered them only without him physically present. Perhaps the empty net in our story this morning in John's Gospel, after their long night of fishing, is a symbol of the emptiness that they are feeling and their need for his continuing power. Carl Jung was big on symbols in his writings and his work. And he writes that the boat is a symbol for what we fear in life. But perhaps the disciples were headed back in that boat to something that was really familiar to them. Only it didn't quite fit the same way this time around. They weren't catching any fish. They had been changed by Jesus, but they were in this in-between time of trying to figure out what this new direction was going to look like. And their old way of fishing wasn't being so successful. They needed to take a risk, to jump in a different direction, to put their nets out on the right side of the boat, to reconnect to what Jesus had been teaching them, to renew again their fishing of people, and to remember this encounter with Jesus, direct and powerful. They listen to this man on the beach that they don't even know who he is at the time, and Peter, when he finds out that it's Jesus, particularly responds. He puts on his clothes and he jumps in. I love Peter's exuberance, don't you? If you look at the stories about Peter, you find him all over the map in the New Testament. This water story may recall for us the time that he saw Jesus walking on the water and he jumped in again, but not very successfully. And last week's story of the lack of faith as Jesus sleeps through the storm and the disciples are worried in those moments. Peter is certainly one who is adrift between the extremes, isn't he? But Jesus saw in Peter the bright hope that he could be. He's also the one who lives in the reality that at that critical moment of Jesus' arrest, it's Peter who denies the Lord he loves three times. Yet it's Peter who responds in this post-resurrection story. When the one that Jesus loved says, "It's the Lord," Peter jumps in and, I'm assuming, goes swimming, although it doesn't say that. He responds immediately, and he continues to respond, to risk and to stretch as we read and continue to read in the Acts of the Apostles in Luke. We begin to see what Jesus saw in him at the start and the transformation that was to come. The sea is teeming with life, with opportunity, and Peter jumps right into it. Like the river in Ezekiel's time, opportunities for new life are abounding all around us, even through difficult times. Peter is ready to claim them, to draw closer to Jesus, and to risk the challenge of the water. Water, we know, is in and around us for those of us that are fortunate to have water flowing in our midst. It courses throughout our world and is in need throughout our world for all aspects of life. In our bodies, in our needs for day-to-day life, in powerful forces of nature. It's quite something, I must say, to have been away last week thinking and working through the sermon and have the luxury to do so while in the high desert to think about a sermon about water and swimming. But there are things I think we can learn from Peter's swimming in this story. First, we can learn that we need to be brave to jump in, just as Ginny told us. Sometimes, even when we're tired and tempted to go back to old ways, as Peter was after a long night of unsuccessful fishing, Jesus shows up on the beach and lets his disciples know that his work is not done and that it will be done through them. And they're going to need to stretch in some new directions, to put their nets over the right side of the boat. We also need to learn, as we swim, that we need to breathe at regular intervals. I hope you've had some breathing time this summer to see what your pacing can and should be, to maybe take John Sweet's sermon at the end of July a little bit literally. But it's complicated. That breathing stuff is hard when we swim. It's hard to swim when you can't quite catch your breath and when you might panic that you're not going to be able to catch your breath at the right times. Our breathing tightens up and fears overwhelm us. We need to slow down and remember to breathe deep. We need to remember who we can trust, in whose arms and whose spirit we live. Remember how frantic those disciples were when Jesus was killed and then went missing from the tomb. They were running around in a panic, if you read just a few chapters before in John. And then picture that view of Jesus by the side of the shore. Swimming is also an endurance sport that requires concentration. Sure, there are sprints in swimming, but even to swim a length of the pool takes some endurance to connect and know how to make your body work in that arena. How many of you have seen this summer the movie that came out, Soul Surfer? Besides Andrew, I know, I can't believe any of you, none of you have seen it. You'd better go see it or rent it. I'm getting really bossy here. It's the dramatic, the name might sort of put you off. You might think it's sort of a callback to the Beach Boys, if you know who they are. But it is a dramatic portrayal of the 13-year-old surfer Bethany Hamilton, who lost her arm near her shoulder in a shark attack while she was out surfing in Hawaii. And it chronicles her return to surfing after that accident at a competitive level. In the movie, at the moment she loses consciousness and blood, you saw the traditional beckoning of the white light that you see in so many movies as she dolphin dove into the middle of a wave. It's a pretty amazing image and doesn't end in the same way that it usually ends in movies. But what was different in this movie is that toward the end of the movie, as Bethany learns courageous new ways to compensate for the missing arm and come back in the surfing world, this is a true story. She again surfs through that center of the wave, risking breathing and endurance and compensating for the arm that is no longer there, that are all part of the story. And what's most important and why you need to see this movie is that her youth pastor is critical to this whole transformation. No, it's a wonderful story and parable of faith and struggle, of how to come back from things that are so devastating. Peter dared to jump, to risk jumping in when he saw and remembered the witness of Jesus, the abundant life that we are promised as we believe and risk faith. We too can jump into life and new opportunities to experience transformation of ourselves and reaching out into the world. But it takes risking. It takes remembering to whom we are connected, to the life and witness, to the power of Jesus Christ, breathing and endurance. Remembering the power of the one who came and who invited us to living water, that we might experience life abundant. The road is long, but the power of our Lord endures forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.